You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. What a wonderful, beautiful weekend we are having in New York. And if you are listening in the Carolinas or Virginia or down south, you're probably not listening because it's your last battery to listen to this show, but maybe you are. Well, our hearts and our prayers, our thoughts are with you down there because we are having a wonderful day here. And I've seen the photographs and the videos, and it's just amazing. Amazing, the epic rain they're having in the southeast United States. We count our blessings up here. But the hurricane may come up here in a little while, but let's hope not. Well, this is the show about you, the show about your wrinkles, and the show about your jowls, and the show about fat around your thighs, and maybe sagging breasts, breasts that go all the way down to your belly button. Oh, well, that happens, right? And you come to the plastic surgeon, and we do procedures like breast lifts for issues like that. And this is the show to call if you've got issues just like that. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Been doing this for a long, long time on the radio and even longer in practice in New York and in New Jersey. And I'm here to answer your questions. The phone number at WABC is 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-WABC. It's a free phone call from anywhere and everywhere in the United States. So give me a call and ask me the questions that have been keeping you up at night. You know the ones like, I don't know, did he tell me I was supposed to stop smoking before surgery? And what would happen to me if I continue to smoke? How about that question? That's probably kept some of you smokers up at night. And there are many, many more. Give me a call. Ask me those questions. 800-848-9222. And as we have been doing in the past few weeks, we're going to be giving away bottles of Nighttime to callers. If you've got a good phone call for me, a good question for me, you know, you can't just call and say, send me the Nighttime. You have to have a good question. So, give me a call. Nighttime is the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's got everything you need. I've left in out the things you don't need. You know, if you go to the stores, if you go to Macy's and all the other stores that have many, many skincare products, it's a daunting thing, isn't it? I mean, you go in there and you have no idea what you're supposed to get for yourself. The young lady behind the counter will tell you to get this, 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 and this. And why is that? Well, often they are hired by the skincare companies, not even by the stores, and they're there on commission. So they're trying to sell you as many things as possible. But my idea of good skincare is not to put as many things as possible on your skin. In fact, it's to put as few things as possible on your skin, because everything you do put on your skin can have a problem. You can have an allergic reaction, or you can get something called contact dermatitis, which is kind of a redness. You know, poison ivy is a contact dermatitis, but skincare products rarely give you that intense a reaction. But often they give you just a little bit of redness and a little bit of swelling. Maybe some thickened skin, some oily skin, and a lot of you just think that's you. That's what your skin is, but it's not. It's a toxic reaction to skincare products. So my attitude is put as few things as possible. When I formulate skincare, I want to keep my ingredient list as small as possible, not as large. If you look at some of these products, by the way, well, you know, you see 30, 40, 50. I've seen as many as 61 different ingredients in skincare. That's just nuts. I mean, that's ridiculous. You don't want to do that because each and every one of those, there's a potential for harm. So we want to use the things that make a difference. That's what I have in my Nighttime. I've got vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids. Those are the three most important skincare ingredients. No, they're not sexy like plant stem cells, which can't possibly work, by the way. No, they're not sexy like these hexapeptides, which are too big to get into your skin. They can't possibly work. No, they're not. It's just simple, basic skincare that really does make a difference. And that's what Nighttime is all about. And a bottle will be yours if you give me a call and ask me a good question. 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So tonight we're going to be talking about liposuction. And you say, well, I thought it was liposuction. You know, here's the story, and I've told this before. Back in 1983, everybody in the United States and in France called it liposuction. But there were some Dallas plastic surgeons that were very well known, and they started calling it liposuction. And so everybody sort of followed them. But at the University of Chicago, where I trained, we maintained the liposuction with that Chicago accent. So that's how I pronounce it, because it's a lipid. It's a lipid. Those of you who have taken chemistry, they're not lipids, right? They're lipids. So everybody asked me, why do you pronounce it liposuction? Well, liposuction is the most popular cosmetic surgical procedure. You know, this program often focuses on facial rejuvenation. I do a lot of facial rejuvenation in my practice. I do skincare. I do fillers and Botox and facelifts and eyelid lifts. I do a lot of that. But I also do an awful lot of liposuction. And I publish papers in the journals and chapters in the books on liposuction. And you can check those out if you're really interested. You can go to emedicine.com and look for either my name or liposuction, and you'll find my papers. At least one of my chapters is on emedicine.com. But I do an awful lot of liposuction. It's a wonderful procedure. Let me tell you a little bit about it during the next 45 or so minutes, and I'll answer your questions. Of course, we'll take your questions about other things in cosmetic surgery, but we're going to focus a little bit tonight on liposuction. So what is the procedure? It started in 1983 in France, came to the United States shortly thereafter. I started my residency at the University of Chicago in 1985, so it was a brand new procedure. In those years, we were using fairly big tubes. We made incisions, and for the most part in those days, in the 1980s, liposuction was done in the belly and the thighs. That's about it. We used pretty big tubes, and we made incisions and put a tube in and broke up fat and sucked it out. And boy, that was a remarkable procedure, because before that, if you had heavy thighs, if you really wanted surgery, expect to have a big, long incision where skin was lifted up and fat was kind of carved out, put back. It was a procedure that was done in the hospital, not a popular procedure. High complication rate, bleeding, infection, things like that. And when liposuction came in, and we can do these procedures through quarter inch or one third of an inch incisions, my goodness, that revolutionized plastic surgery. And up to this day, 30-something years later, it is still the most common procedure in cosmetic surgery. Well, you know, some years it's breast augmentations. Some years it's liposuction. They kind of, it's like a horse race. One year it's one, and one year it's the other. But liposuction has gone through phases. So in the beginning, it was kind of a high complication rate procedure because we did not understand how much to take out and how to do it. So after it was introduced in the 1980s, we started infusing a liquid that contains epinephrine, also known as adrenaline, into the tissue. And boy, that cut way down on the bleeding. So we were limited, very limited, to relatively small procedures back in the mid-1980s. And when we were able to put this fluid into the area that would be suctioned, we cut the bleeding down from really several units of blood to maybe a half unit of blood. And you say, well, that's still a lot of bleeding, isn't it? Well, you know, you go to the Red Cross, you donate, hopefully a lot of you do this, you donate a unit of blood, which is also a pint of blood. It's the same thing. One unit is one pint. You give that, they give you some cookies, maybe some juice, and you drive yourself home and you say, wow, I just lost a unit of blood. That's a lot of blood, and I'm able to drive myself home. And the same thing with a surgical procedure. So even if we lose a unit, you know, a pint of blood, well, that's not so bad. We make it back in really a very short amount of time, just a few days, maybe a week or so, to make that blood back. But we don't want to lose a lot more than that. We don't want to lose 2 or 3 units of blood. That would be considered excessive. You'd be dizzy afterwards. And heaven forbid, we do not want to have to transfuse people with liposuction. And so, with the procedure, we developed techniques so that we cut way down on bleeding. We had smaller tubes. We used this epinephrine solution, which cut way down on bleeding, and we also limited the number of areas and the amount that would be suctioned. And with that, we went through a learning curve in the 1980s, but by the mid-1990s, liposuction was an exceedingly safe procedure, rare to have a complication, and an enormously high satisfaction procedure. So we do, let's say we do hips. That's a very common area in women, and thighs, that's the most common area. In men, the belly is the most common area. And in men and women, the neck, very, very common. But liposuction is not just an independent procedure where you come in and I do liposuction. It's also a very important part of other procedures that we do. So almost every facelift that I do, we're suctioning fat with liposuction. Almost every breast reduction I do, we're suctioning fat with liposuction. And almost every tummy tuck that I do, we're suctioning fat with liposuction. So it's a tool and it is also a procedure. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of liposuction. I want you to give me a call if you've got questions about the procedure, or you're going to have it, or maybe you had it a few months ago or a few weeks ago or last week and there are still questions. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. And tonight we are talking liposuction. And we're also going to talk, by the way, about overdone plastic surgery in the next segment. Overdone. How many of you have seen people walking around and you say, oh my goodness, who was their plastic surgeon? Well, that's a failure of plastic surgery. We're going to talk about that when we return from the break. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We'll be back after these words.
What's your wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show for a long time now. I hope you're enjoying the show and learning from the show, maybe being entertained a bit, but remember that the advice that I give on the show, it really doesn't apply to you. It might apply to you, but you cannot take this as personal advice. You know that. When you listen to these shows on the radio, do not change your medical care because of this show. Because, you know, I'm not examining you. I'm not your doctor. And, you know, this is a whole legal disclaimer, of course, that I'm not your doctor. So if you have a problem, you have to go to your doctor. So if you're looking at some thing that's growing on your skin and you're saying, well, Dr. Perry said that that sounds okay. No, you can't do that. If you've got a mole that's a funny-looking thing, you've got to see your own doctor. So thank you for trusting me, but don't trust me that much. I'm a radio guy. If you come and see me in the office, well, then you can bank on it because I am a real board-certified plastic surgeon. I see my patients in my New Jersey office in central New Jersey. And in my Manhattan office on Fifth Avenue, a crowded area of the country, isn't it? It really is. There's a lot of tourists around no matter what time of the year. I guess it takes a little break now, and then around Thanksgiving, it's wall-to-wall people on Fifth Avenue. We're right across the street from Saks Fifth Avenue, so that keeps things hopping. Well, I want to talk for a moment before we get back to liposuction and overdone plastic surgery. I want to talk a little bit about Plexaderm. Those of you who have seen the commercials on television, you might say, that stuff can't possibly work. What is Plexaderm? Plexaderm is a really interesting product by my friend John Greenhut. Many of you have heard, in fact, ad nauseum in the old days, those infomercials that I did with John Greenhut for my night skin product. I remember being in a taxi one night and the taxi driver telling me, oh, I memorized your infomercial. Isn't that something? Well, anyway, John Greenhut has come up with a new one called Plexaderm. And the commercials are, they put it on this guy and they put it on his lower eyelid and instantly, almost instantly, taking a few minutes, the wrinkles disappear. And it really kind of looks like, what is this stuff? Could it possibly work? So true story, I called John up. I said, let me try the stuff on my wife. And I did. And it really does work. It really does. It's not skincare like my products are. It's a makeup, really, if you think about it, because if you put makeup on, you're covering up a blemish or wrinkles or something like that. This is in that same class because it's really not changing your skin. It's disguising it. It's a product that kind of tightens as it dries on your skin, and the wrinkles look like they go away. I can tell you there are a countless number of people on television, my patients who are on TV, they tell me they use it. I've advised many people to use it. It's really good because it makes the bags look better. It makes the wrinkles of your cheek look better. It can actually even raise your brow a little bit as it tightens on your forehead. It's temporary, of course. As soon as you wash your face, you're right back to where you were before. But this is really cool stuff. So Plexaderm is the product. And if John Greenhut has given me an 800 number to give to you, my listeners on WABC's What's Your Wrinkle Show. So write this down. I'll wait for you. I've waited long enough. 800-925-9963. It's 800-925-9963. If you use that number, you'll get up to 50% off the normal retail price of Plexaderm. Once again, it's 800-925-9963. And when you talk to the people at Plexaderm, tell them that you heard about their product right here on WABC on the Dr. Perry's What's Your Wrinkle Show. So once again, 800-925-9963. All right, so let's talk about liposuction. So I'm doing one, I believe, Tuesday. It's a liposuction of the thighs in a young woman who has a disproportionately large outer thigh. So the first rule of liposuction, it's not a method of weight loss. So if you come in and you're 5'2" and 200 pounds, we're not going to be doing liposuction on you. I'm going to send you to my good friend George Fielding for a lap band or something like that, or maybe just exercise and diet, but we're not going to be doing liposuction because that's how people die when they have too much fat suctioned off. We don't want to do something that's not safe. So first of all, liposuction is a procedure for you if you're pretty close to your ideal weight, certainly within 10 or 15% of your ideal weight. So that's rule number one, not a method of weight loss. It is for people who have a disproportionate amount of fat in a particular location, such as your outer thighs. That's what I'm doing on Tuesday, the outer thighs. Someone who's a pretty normal weight but has extra weight on her outer thighs. We could do it on your inner thighs or your knees or all three or circumferentially around your thighs. But we limit the amount that's suctioned to a reasonable amount. And what is that? Well, it depends on how large you are, of course. But if you're a typical woman, you know, 5'3", 5'4", 5'5", and weigh maybe 145 pounds or so, we're not going to want to suction more than, you know, maybe 6, 8, 10 pounds maximum. That's a lot of fat. That's a lot of fat. And my usual liposuction is more like about 4, 5, 6 pounds, something like that, will suction off. We want to do it safely. We want you to be able to get up off the operating room table without feeling dizzy, and you'll walk right afterwards. It's an outpatient procedure. A lot of people say, well, when will I go back to work? Well, if we do the procedure on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I advise my patients to take off the rest of the week and go back to work on Monday. It's not a long recovery. Now, there are people that kind of, I call them grandstanding plastic surgeons, that say, oh, we're going to get you back to work the next day. This is not a contest. You know, plastic surgery is not a contest. Medical care is not a contest. We're not trying to get you, well, let's do a procedure, let's suction off fat and get you back to work, even if we have to kind of prop you up. That's not what it's all about. We want to do this safely. We want to keep you safe. And what does that mean? That means when you leave the facility, you're not driving home, of course. Someone's going to drive you home. You're not bedridden afterwards. You get up to go to the bathroom. You get up to eat, and you go to sleep normally, usually with the area that's operated on elevated. That means it's kept up, a couple pillows underneath your thighs, underneath your legs, and that facilitates drainage of the swelling. And the next day, you feel pretty good. Most of my patients do not need any pain medicine. And you say, well, geez, I heard this was a painful procedure. It is not and should not be a painful procedure. And I can tell you that with proof. I did a study in my office that I did publish and I presented to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons at their annual meeting. And I looked at pain after liposuction. And one thigh I did by injecting lidocaine. That's a numbing medicine. And the other thigh, no lidocaine, just the epinephrine. This was an approved study. This is not human experimentation. This was a real medical study that was published in a medical journal. And what I showed was that there was not a lot of pain in either, whether we used the lidocaine or did not use the lidocaine. And the average person had something in the area of, on a scale of 1 to 10, somewhere around a 1 to 1.5 pain scale. And that is certainly helped with just Tylenol. Tylenol is all you need. And I'm sure all the government officials that are terribly against narcotics now, it's a war against narcotics for good reason, but sometimes they overstep just a bit when we're talking with surgery and make it a little difficult for those of us in medicine to really prescribe what we need to prescribe. But nevertheless, with this procedure, we won't get political here on the show, with this procedure, it really is not necessary and should not be necessary to require narcotics. So just Tylenol, and Tylenol for about a day, maybe 2 days. You know, when you sit there after liposuction, you say, no, it doesn't hurt at all. If you touch your thighs, well, it hurts like a bruise. But you look absolutely incredibly purple afterwards. You know, the day after surgery, the day after liposuction, when you take that first shower, I tell people that their thighs are going to look like eggplant purple, because it really does happen that way. And it looks worse than it is. The swelling goes up very fast. The swelling goes down very fast. And by the time I take the one stitch out of each of these quarter-inch incisions, about 5 or 6 or 7 days later, the swelling is down significantly. But it takes 2-3 weeks before your pants really start fitting more loosely. And then it keeps on going from there. And when can you get in a bathing suit? Well, it's 3-4 weeks. You know, you really don't want to push it because there can be bruising that can persist for a long time. But here's the great news with liposuction. It is a very safe procedure. It's got a very low infection rate, meaning 1% or less, as opposed to, let's say, a tummy tuck, which is more like a 3 to 4% infection rate. Why is it a low infection rate? Because it's little tiny incisions, and that does make a big difference. There's a very low complication rate. Now, that's not to say there can't be complications with surgery, because there can be, and your surgeon has the moral, ethical, and medical obligation to screen you for your medical issues. So if you have diabetes, for instance, we're most likely not going to be doing this procedure on you. And if you've got heart disease, we're most likely not going to. And I say most likely, there are exceptions with everything. But the rule is we want to do these procedures on healthy people who are expected to recover very quickly and do well. That's the goal of cosmetic surgery. We don't want to create problems. So liposuction, great procedure, low complication procedure. Most people, that means over 95%, are thrilled with the procedure. Yes, what are the complications? Well, you can get dimpling, waviness, rippling, things like that. That can happen, and the more of that you have before surgery, the more likely you are to have after surgery. And some people are not candidates because they've got too much cellulite or too much hanging skin. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. We've been talking about liposuction, the advantages, some of the disadvantages, but I think it's one of the great procedures in cosmetic surgery, and it's really changed lives because you can fit into clothing better, you can look better, and certainly with not a lot of risk, as long as you're healthy. 800-848-9222. We're going to be back with another half hour to the show. Give me a call. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll be right back.
Listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show for a long, long time. How long? 13 years. If this is the first time you've listened, please give me a call tonight. It's okay if you're a first-time listener. The phone number here is 800-848-9222. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, And I'm a real plastic surgeon. That means I spend a lot of my time in the operating room, the rest of my time in the office doing all sorts of procedures. I do a lot of non-invasive procedures now, more than the old days. I spend a couple days a week in the operating room. The rest of the time, we're doing Botox, we're doing fillers. Ulthera is a really nice procedure that can lift the jowls and lift the brows and the smooth skin of the neck. That is a winter procedure. It's 8 years with Ulthera now, and it really does work very nicely. I do all sorts of laser procedures now also, and I've used lasers since 1981, so they're not new, but the lasers keep on getting better and better and smaller, which is also interesting. I can take them from one office to another now. Back in the old days, these lasers took up half of a room. You couldn't move them anywhere. But the lasers that I use are CO2 lasers. Last week, I talked with Dr. Ron Moy, the dermatologist. We talked all about how we're using these CO2 lasers, carbon dioxide lasers, for wrinkle reduction now, to the exclusion of many other treatments. He's all but given up chemical peels. I still think chemical peels are useful for color issues, for evening out skin tone. I think that's better if you don't have wrinkles. But if you've got wrinkles and what we call dyschromia, how's that for a word? That's your word for the day, dyschromia, you know, splotchy brown pigmentation of the skin, then we'll often do the laser as opposed to the peel, which is for just color. And by the way, what if you look at your face and you have a lot of these little raised things on your face, particularly if you have a little bit of color in your skin, if you are, let's say, Puerto Rican or Indian or African American, and you have all these little raised brown things on your skin. Can I laser those? No, we don't want to laser those off. This week, I did one of these sessions. It's a kind of a marathon session. I took off hundreds of these from a young lady who might be listening now. Hello. And what I do is I numb these up and I shave them off. It's very low tech, but it works very well. And after having hundreds of these on her cheeks, and really, you know, it's one of those things, you can't cover them with makeup. You have to just sort of live with them, or you have those shaved off. Why don't I laser those off? Well, you know, I can get a little better control of the depth of this and the depth of the excision. And also, the laser does have a little bit of a heat injury to it. And if you've got some color in your skin, the laser has more risk of giving you either a lightening of your skin or even a darkening of your skin. So if I shave those off, I've got the ultimate control. But that's where the skill of the surgeon comes in. And I always say, you know, the laser is a great tool. But it does involve a lot less skill than the actual scalpel and actually doing these procedures by hand, which we've been doing for a long time. And it's very important that surgeons don't lose those skills, because in situations like what I did this week, we revert right back to what we've been doing for an awful long time. All right, so I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I see patients all week long to help you look better. And I get a lot of patients that come in and, you know, they might have had a little too much. And that's getting to be more and more common, by the way. It is, you know, cosmetic surgery has been kind of labeled as, well, it's nothing. You know, you have a procedure, you go back to work the next day. People talk about that all the time, and they minimize and they entertainment-mize. Is that a word? They try and make cosmetic surgery seem like entertainment. So let's go ahead and take a phone call, but then I want to talk about overdone plastic surgery and what we need to do about that problem. Krista, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Hello.
Yes, Krista, what can I do for you?
Yes, I've been using the soap and the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've noticed that after I use the soap, I get dry patches on the face.
My soap, are you talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And then when I use that nighttime, it actually burns.
Well.
Yes.
I guess this is not a stage phone call. All right. So, well, let's talk about this. First of all, I'm really surprised about that with the soap because it is such a mild soap. But you know something? That the truth is, Krista,
it's not the soap that burns. It's the nighttime when I put the nighttime on.
Okay. So let's talk about what's in nighttime that might be burning you. First of all, nighttime really works. It's real. It's got a pH of 3.5. Now, what does that mean? I don't know if you're a chemist. I don't know if anyone's a chemist out there. But let's talk about pH for a second. Your skin sits at about 5.5. It's pretty acid, more like lemons and less like baking soda. But vitamin C, in order to work, has to be at 3.5, and that's why nighttime is 3.5. So it's fairly acidic, and most people who put it on their skin tell me that they feel a little bit of tingling. Do you feel that when you put it on your skin?
Yes.
Okay, and that's because of the pH, the acidic pH of it. It's got vitamin C in a form that works. In a 10% concentration, which is a pretty high concentration, it takes 5% to actually work. So what I did was I created a product that actually works, which is sort of an understatement. It does work. There are many products that don't even have a chance of working. This does because it's got 10% vitamin C. But what's probably causing the irritation is the vitamin A. Because vitamin A is a very irritating substance. Whether or not you use prescription Retin-A, which is a very commonly prescribed drug, it's a cream or a gel that's used for acne and for wrinkles and evening out skin tone and things like that. So Retin-A is the most irritating. And then there are other forms of vitamin A, like retinol, which are in a lot of Johnson & Johnson products. I use something called retinyl propionate, which is the hardest type of vitamin A to pronounce. So, but it's also the most gentle form of vitamin A. But even with that, Krista, it can irritate your skin. So, here's what I suggest. Do you use the daytime in the morning, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, because daytime has vitamin B3, which is niacin. This becomes a real kind of lesson in chemistry. Niacin actually decreases the irritation that the vitamin A causes. Now, when did you start on the nighttime? When did you start using it?
It's been more than a month.
Okay. And did you start every night?
Yes.
Okay. So there lies a potential issue. So when you start on it, it can irritate in the beginning. So here's what I advise you to do. First of all, I'd take a week off and don't do anything. So just stop using it for about a week. And then I want you to start on a Monday-Thursday schedule. Just put it on Monday night and Thursday night. That's it. And don't use vitamin A or vitamin C on your skin between those times. Do that for about 2 weeks. You start getting your skin used to the substances, used to the vitamin A. It's called your skin will acclimate to it. After 2 weeks, I'll say this again at the end, so if you're not writing it down. So after 2 weeks, you can go to every other night and do that for 2 weeks. Okay? And after so now you're up to 4 weeks. So the first 2 weeks, it was two nights a week. The next 2 weeks, it's every other night. And then you should be able to use it every night. Now, that's assuming, Krista, that you're not allergic to anything in it. That's assuming that it's just a reaction because vitamin A is an irritating substance. So give that a try. Go, again, Monday, Thursday, the first 2 weeks. But before you even do that, you're taking a week off because you have to let your skin, kind of relax a bit and not get irritated. So a week off, then Monday, Thursday for 2 weeks, and then every other night for 2 weeks, and then hopefully you'll be able to tolerate it at every night. All right?
Okay.
All right, Krista, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it. This is an issue with any type of skincare that really works, whether it's benzoyl peroxide, whether it's vitamin A. These things can irritate your skin. They really can. So you have to get your skin used to it. And I always say it takes about 6 weeks to really start looking better. You have to kind of get over the hump of the potential for irritation by these products. And, I put a little pamphlet in the products when we sell them. When you buy these things, you get a little pamphlet and tells you some of these things. But if you're like me, you probably don't read it. You know, I get these electronic devices and try to use them without ever looking at the manual. And so many people, you just don't want to read these things. I don't blame you. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Now, here's what we're going to do. We've got another phone call in the queue, but we're coming right up to a commercial break. So, Jay, hang on the line, and I'm going to take you right after the commercial break. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. WABC, and when we come back from our break, we're going to talk to Jay, and we're going to talk about a little hair transplant issue, and we're also going to talk about overdone cosmetic surgery, and maybe we're talking about the same thing. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC, and Bruce, let's go right to the break now.
Listening to What's Your Wrinkle
with
Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And this is Dr. Arthur Perry. We're back with What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So let's talk for a few minutes about overdone plastic surgery, because, you know, there's so much of it out there. So many people have had too much. Where do you start and where do you end? I did a television show a couple of years ago, the Bill Cunningham Show. Remember that one? I think it's been canceled, but not because of my appearance. But I'll never forget the show. They called me up. They said, we have a bunch of people who want to look like other people. They want to look like celebrities that are coming on the show. We want you to be the voice of reason, the plastic surgeon assessing them. And so, yeah, there was one guy that looked like Justin Bieber or wanted to try to look like Justin Bieber. There were all sorts of interesting people on this show. And I got up there and I said, I mean, these people had 12, 14, 20 different procedures. I mean, their life was cosmetic surgery. And I got up and I said, and right before I went on, by the way, they told me the show's a little kind of dull. So can you liven it up? And I said, well, I'm the doctor. What am I? I'm not here to liven things up. I'm the voice of reason here. So I said, you know, each of you is one procedure away from disaster with all you've had. And I got booed, and I thought they were going to, like, climb onto the chair. It was going to be a Geraldo moment there. I'm telling you, it was not a fun thing. And my wife said, I told you you shouldn't do that show. And anyway, it's been canceled. But it is interesting that there are many people that have way too much cosmetic surgery. And on that show, they violated many of the basic principles of cosmetic surgery. So when I trained at the University of Chicago with a guy named Tom Krizek, who was one of the great plastic surgeons of all time, one of the lessons that we were taught is that people should not come in with photographs of celebrities, should not want to look like other people. They should want to look better for themselves. And it should be a kind of a better version of you, not to look like someone else. And why is that? Well, you know, first of all, it's not easy to do that. And second, that becomes a psychiatric issue, to be very honest with you. It really does, because we should be happy with who we are. Yeah, you know, if your nose is too big, we can make it smaller. If your hips are, you know, enormous, we can make them smaller. If your breasts hang and it really bothers you in clothing, we can reduce your breasts or lift your breasts. But we want to be, you know, I want to make you look normal, and I want to make you look natural, and I certainly don't want to make you look like, you know, Victoria Principal or Justin Bieber or J-Lo or someone like that. We want to make you look like you and better. So if you bring photographs in to the consultation, you know, it's okay to bring photographs of yourself when you were younger, but it's really not okay, you know, for you to bring in Cher's photographs. I want to look like Cher in 1965. We're not going to do that. You have to find a different plastic surgeon. And unfortunately, there are plastic surgeons out there that will do things like that, but they miss the lecture in medical school, and they miss the, in my opinion, they miss the lecture in residency, because that's not what we want to be doing. And the same goes for overdone plastic surgery. And what does that mean? That means people that have simply done too much. And you don't have to be a plastic surgeon to identify those people. You know, you can just look in the Upper East Side of Manhattan or Beverly Hills or look on television. You know, the Emmys are coming up. The Oscars are coming up. Just look and look. And, you know, I don't look at the shows. I don't care who wins. I just look at the cosmetic surgery when I watch those shows. And it's really remarkable what people do, even celebrities, because some of them go so far that they actually ruin their careers. And they really do. But many people come in to see me and, you know, okay, the guy on the radio, you're the savior. No, no, no. I'm a plastic surgeon. I think I'm a well-trained plastic surgeon. I love doing what I do. But if you've come in and you've had 14 different procedures and your face is pulled so tight and your lips are distorted and your face is distorted, you know, sometimes the best thing is to simply do nothing. And that's a hard thing for people to realize because people want to come in and look better. But, you know, I have people come in and they've had silicone injected into their face. I've had a lot of people in the last 6 months with silicone, and they have the same issues. Silicone causes scarring in the face. And I'm not talking about silicone rubber chin implants, which are perfectly fine, or silicone breast implants, which is contained silicone. I'm talking about the injection of liquid silicone, which is still being done. And there are dermatologists mostly. I don't know any plastic surgeons that do this, but there are dermatologists that do this in Manhattan. And I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of those patients recently. And it's not good because that material causes scarring. It causes the nasolabial fold to kind of get thick. And I've seen people that it's fallen over itself. And what that means is it's injected into the fold. And then there's so much scarring that the fold actually paradoxically thickens because you get scarring. And I've seen, I saw a woman last week who had it injected into her, over her cheekbones, and she's got kind of a red hue to the cheeks and to one cheek. And that worries me a lot because if you do get infection with injection of silicone or injection of another foreign material, that's a hard problem to deal with. So I see people frequently who have had silicone injected or have funny implants that are not kind of the status quo in plastic surgery, but you know, you'll find someone to do almost anything in this field. And I've had funny things where these chin implants were just enormous, or lip implants, which, you know, I've taken them out, I haven't put them in, or these funny stitches in the neck. And you know, it, you really have to do your homework. First of all, you have to choose your plastic surgeon well. Find out where they did their, went to medical school. Find out where they went, did their residency. Make sure they're certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. Get some references from other patients. That's one. So part of it is choosing the right plastic surgeon and making sure that the surgeon is willing to say no. No, we're not going to do that. I've had people, this is an interesting one. I had one patient from Russia who came in with a vial of something, and she wanted me to inject it into her. And I said, well, wait a minute. First of all, it's a felony. We don't want to do that. And second, what on earth is that stuff? You know, but there are things that are approved in other countries that you cannot use in the United States, even if someone legitimately just brings it in. It's the surgeon that's going to get in trouble for doing that, and rightfully so. We don't want to do things that are not approved, FDA-approved, real drugs and things that are you know, proven scientifically to be safe. So anyway, I have these patients that bring those things in, and I have patients that just ask me for more. And I sit there and I tell them, well, you know, in your situation, the best thing you could do is nothing. Let things dry out. But if we try and put more filler in, we could potentially contaminate the silicone that's in your face. If I try and put more filler in, I could even make your lips worse. We want to let things settle down. That's a hard one for a lot of people because, you know, when you come into a plastic surgeon, you want help. You want to look better, and you don't want to be turned down. But sometimes that is the smartest thing for the plastic surgeon and the smartest thing for the patient. But I do know that if we do turn people down, a lot of times people will shop. And as I always say, if you're willing to keep on looking, you'll find someone that is willing to do anything, and that's not necessarily good, and often it's not. I'll never forget my first year of practice, I had a woman who came in. She had a DVT in her leg about 6 months before, and she wanted liposuction of her knees. And I said, DVT is a blood clot in the leg, and it's a dangerous thing, and if it travels to your lungs, it can be potentially life-threatening. So certainly, we don't want to do surgery in the early period or maybe even ever, if it's cosmetic surgery, in the area that you've had a DVT. And you know what? Even if it's not in the area, I send people to a vascular surgeon after they've had a DVT, a blood clot, to be cleared, to make sure there's no residual clot or scarring in the vein. But that's kind of a different story. Nevertheless, this particular woman, I said, you know, it's not a good idea. It's dangerous to do this. And we don't want to, I'm going to turn you down. We're not going to do liposuction. The best thing you can do is not have it. So she went to someone else, had her procedure, and yes, had another DVT. You know, you don't want to say, I told you so, because I don't. But, you know, if a plastic surgeon turns you down for a medical reason or a psychological reason, or you've had too much and that doctor thinks that if you do more, you're, like I said on the TV show, one procedure away from disaster, you know, listen to the doctor, because this is how they make their living. That's what they do. So if they're turning you down, then, you know, that's like a parent saying, you know, don't play in traffic. You know, I don't want to see you get hurt. We're not going to have you play stickball out in the street. Does anyone do that anymore, by the way? So listen to the plastic surgeon. You have to trust the doctor, and that's where, as I say, choosing the right doctor. You know, and I wrote a book about this, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery, which you can still get on Amazon.com. One final plug for the book. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This has been What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The hour goes so quickly. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the phone calls. I tend to talk a lot. This is, I guess, why I'm on the radio. You can check me out on Facebook, Facebook.com. I've got a website both for my practice and for the skincare company, drperrys.com, if you want those products that I talked about. Thanks so much for great engineering. We'll see everybody next week. Have a great one. Let's hope that hurricane stays away from here. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry's Skin Industries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.